You're listening to Succeed, Just Let Go, the podcast that'll change how you think and change your life. I'm Willie Horton and I'm a psychologist, been helping people change their lives since 1996, broadcasting from the French Alps, and delighted to have you along. Let's take this week's step in the right direction.
People often tell me that they regret not stumbling across me online sooner in their lives. People often say to me that it would have been wonderful if they knew the kind of stuff that they learn in, for example, just this podcast, never mind the online program, how much better it would be if they knew that stuff when they were much, much younger. How many years would they have not wasted wondering why they were stuck in their lives, or wondering if their life was ever going to change, or indeed wondering why they suffered from low self-esteem or lack of self-confidence? We learn what we learn when we're due to learn it, if I can put it like that. It's a little like when people ask me why their perfect moment hasn't happened yet, and you will be aware from previous conversations in this podcast what I mean exactly, precisely and scientifically by a perfect moment. When people ask me, why has my perfect moment not happened yet? The answer always is, and it's obvious when put like this, that a perfect moment will only happen at the perfect moment. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a perfect moment. In other words, we stumble across the things that we need in our lives when perhaps we most need them. Now, therein lies an issue, a sad issue, if I can put it like that, because so many people need to get desperate before they realize that they've been sleepwalking their way through life and that they need, and badly need, to wake up. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody could, in coming to terms with the fact that there is so much more to them than meets the eye. And you see, we actually glimpse this potential from time to time and our thinking mind puts us down. Wouldn't it be wonderful if even having a glimpse of the fact that life could be different would encourage us to grasp our life by the scruff of the neck and live it like we really mean it? Or if I can put it another way, actually lead our life. As an aside, over the years, I often worked with leadership teams in business, and inevitably, sooner rather than later, each of the individuals with whom I worked would realize that we weren't talking about leadership in business at all. We were talking about a more fundamental type of leadership, the fact that you're supposed to be leading your own life. Most people, however, are living to a script. They're living to a script that was formed for them during their formative years. This script was created as a result of flashbulb learning or psychological snapshot learning, whereby the young and impressionable child took photographs of things that was done to them or for them, but more to the point to them during, in particular, the third year of our lives. We've talked about that before. As a result of that, however, let me not just let that go as a throwaway remark, because as a result of that, the life that 96% of people are leading now, and this may well be your life, is according to a script that was learned before you were 12 or 13, as I said, particularly during the third year of your life. And when people get to the point that they say to themselves, or somebody says to them, you really need to pull yourself together. You really need to change. You really need to do this, that, or the other. And better, of course, if it comes from within. I really need to move my life forward. I really need to unstick myself because I feel stuck. I really need to get a better feel for myself because I feel that I lack self-esteem or that I lack self-confidence. When people get to the point that they realize that they have been sleepwalking through life and it is time for them to wake up, they will often ask the very valid indeed question, do I need to go back to my past and revisit it to get an understanding of what has been holding me back and how I have been moving through my life without actually living it like I mean it? Do I need to go back and revisit the past so that I learn why I am or how I am who I think I am? An awful lot of people will express to me sadness that they have not found themselves, so to speak, by this stage in their lives. An awful lot of people will express regret about the things that they have or haven't done, or the opportunities that they have let slip. And an awful lot of people should express regret, if it's regret we're talking about for a minute, they should express regret at the number of opportunities they have never even seen because they had their eyes firmly closed watching the film, the script created by the things that happened to them during their formative years. But let's forget about regret. Let's forget about sadness. No regrets in this life, even in terms of things you might have said or done that you wished you hadn't said or done even 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes ago is the past. You can't go back and undo what you did. There's no point in thinking about it. 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago is a past so long gone that the only impression that it has left is the impression that you are under, that you are not who you might actually be. Psychology calls it the conceptual self, a bundle of snapshots that you learn during your formative years that give you a very, very false impression indeed of the potential within. Indeed, most people will be of the opinion that there is no potential within and that they're doing okay if they make it from one day to the next, or they're doing okay if nothing terrible befalls. What a bleak view of life. But it is a normal view of life. That's the whole point. Because the thinking mind is designed to enable us just make it from one day to the next. But as I said, it's a really valid question. If I find myself stuck now, if I feel that I am undeserving of happiness or success, and a lot of people feel that way, if I feel that I am unworthy of living the good life, so to speak, do I need to go back and figure out why it has come to this pass? Why am I where I am now? Do I need to go back to my youth and figure it out? The short answer to that question is no. Who you think you are now is just that, who you think you are. The thoughts that enable you think who you are bundled up and packaged in a neat set of programs that you learned when you were 3 or 4 years of age. But the fact that that happened to you way back when doesn't mean that you have to go back to way back when to undo it, or to get closure, or to get to the point where you say to yourself, well, I can turn the page and move on. You move on by turning up to the here and now. Nobody needs to revisit the past. The past is not even a foreign land. The past is gone. I was going to say it's gone for good. It's simply gone. Gone for good, bad, or indifferent. There is no merit whatsoever in revisiting the past because the thinking mind, once encouraged to revisit the past, will enable you, and that's clearly the wrong word, relive the past, which makes the past more powerful in your thinking mind, which enables the past weigh more heavily on your thinking mind. Everything that's past is gone. There is no merit whatsoever in looking back. We cannot learn from a lot of the mistakes that we made in the past because we did not make those mistakes. Who we thought we were made those mistakes. Somebody said to me recently that they cannot trust themselves as a result of the dreadful decisions that they have made in the past, of the terrible mistakes that they have made in the past. And as I've said to them, you didn't make those mistakes. You didn't make those dreadful decisions. The person that you thought you were did all that. We cannot learn from something that our inner potential didn't do. On the other hand, the one thing that we can learn from past mistakes is not to make mistakes again. And the biggest mistake we all make is thinking. I know we're wired to think. I know evolution designed our brains to think. But thinking divorces us from the one place and time that we can lead our lives, that we can live our lives to the full as if we mean it, the here and the now. You can't push your thought away. People have often said to me, I whack my thought away with my imaginary baseball bat. There's no merit in doing that because, like the past, your thoughts aren't real. The only thing that makes them feel real is the way in which your mind automatically pays attention to the thoughts. Once thoughts gain the nutrition, the food, the fuel of your attention, they have legs of their own and they will create all kinds of scenarios for who you think you are and what you're capable of, and whether or not you're deserving of all good things, or even to achieve some of the goals and objectives that you set yourself but have to date eluded you in their coming to fruition. We could even debate about whether you need goals and objectives because of the way in which the thinking mind will get involved in the whole process. Often people will say to me when they come to write what I describe as a perfect moment, that their thinking mind is saying to them, oh, that would be unrealistic. And of course, that is one of the biggest get into jail cards that the thinking mind has at its disposal. It's not a get out of jail card. It's come back in here to the little jail created by your own thoughts and the thoughts that are whirring around in your head day in, day out, all of your adult life. Our thoughts create our version of reality. Our thoughts come from the past, but we don't need to go back to the past to redo our thoughts or understand our thoughts to enable us move forward. Now, even the word forward will get you thinking about the future. And before we get into that, let me again reiterate what I've just said. You are where you are now as a result of all the things that have happened to you or for you up to now. All the good stuff, all the bad stuff, all the actions you've taken, all the actions you've failed to take, all the decisions you've made, good, bad, and indifferent. You are where you are now, but what got you to where you are is not going to get you to where you could really go in your life. So we leave the past behind. As the Bible says, we walk out into the street and wipe the very dust off our shoes and move on. But to where do we move on? Because, as I said, even thinking about moving forward, the thinking mind will say, well, what would moving forward look like? How could I move forward if some of the places to which I wish to move forward are unrealistic? And as I said a moment ago, that's a get into jail card that the thinking mind will play regularly to keep you in your little box. The box, of course, that doesn't exist because it is only created not by your thoughts, let me reiterate that, but by your paying attention to your thoughts. So, again, before we move forward in this podcast episode, let me reiterate, you don't go backwards. Do not go back and revisit the past. You learn nothing from it, other than, as I said, the possibility that you'll realize, well, I shouldn't be making mistakes going forward. But even that is an adulterated learning by virtue of the fact that you'll continue to make mistakes going forward if you keep allowing your thinking mind get involved in the action, reaction, and decision-making processes. We don't look back, nor should we be looking forward. And I mean that in every sense of the word. People will often say to me on a Wednesday, ah, oh, sure, the weekend is nearly upon us. I'm looking forward to the weekend. That means I'm not here. People will look forward to their holidays all the time. At this time of the year, you may well be looking forward to your holidays, or you may be looking forward to your next holiday as a result of this year's holiday having just come to an end. The madness of it all. Somebody said to me years ago, "Oh, every time I come back from holidays, I start planning my next one to avoid the depression that normally ensues at the end of a holiday." In other words, I'm depressed because the past is gone and I need to jolly myself up by looking forward to a future that hasn't arrived yet. I'm missing the present. I'm missing the present. We need to be present to live our lives to the full. Because it's only when we're present that we can experience life without thought. Indeed, through being present in the moment, through developing our presence, life without thought is the inevitable follow-on. So let's talk about the significance of this present moment. You are breathing now. The air you're breathing, the life-giving air you're breathing, is incoming energy from the universe. You are energy. So when you are infused with the energy of breath, that energy flows around your system. Obviously, blood flows around your cardiovascular system, but energy flows around your primovascular system. We are energy. We are flowing energy. The one thing, the only thing, that will block your energy is your paying attention to your thoughts. Now, I've chosen that sentence very carefully because I've often expressed that in the past as your thoughts will block your energy. Your thoughts don't exist other than in the psychological snapshots that you have in the back of the brain, which are sepia toned and frayed at the edges as a result of their age and their irrelevance to the here and now. It's paying attention to our thoughts that blocks our energy because our attention is suddenly taken away from the experience of being fully alive in the here and now. As we know from previous conversations, evolution designed our brain to pour our attention into thought to enable us automatically make it through the day and be happy with what we've got. And I actually mean, kind of put up with that to which we shouldn't have to endure. We talked about that recently. To hell with evolution. Let's move on. Let's create a different evolution for ourselves. And I actually mean that literally, because when we deliberately take steps to develop our ability to pay attention to the here and now, to actually focus our attention on what we are seeing, feeling, hearing, smelling, and tasting in the here and now, that very choice and that ensuing action changes the structure of our brain, changes the flow of attention paid by the key components of the subcortical brain, and starves the thinking mind of the attention it needs to create a warped version of reality that has nothing to do with the real thing. There must be 40 years' research at this stage in relation to how meditation enables us learn to invest our attention in the present moment. There's certainly 25 years research in relation to how meditation reshapes and restructures and reconstructs the key components of the brain to enable us know what is going on in the present moment, know what we need to do, know obviously what we don't need to do. And a lot of people waste most of their time doing things they don't need to be doing. As I said recently in a video, they waste their time being busy, 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 doing the urgent and forget the important stuff in their lives. Meditation restructures the key components of the subcortical brain to enable us experience and attend to the reality of the moment, a life without thought. Now, life without thought is happening now in reality, in this world, on this planet, in your life. The chances are that you are not experiencing that. Even if you have been meditating regularly, there is a high probability that you are only experiencing life without thought in a hit and miss fashion. And that is because so many people meditate to experience the reality of the moment while they are meditating without realizing the impact that meditation is having on their brain, to the extent that they will allow other people crowd out their attention, suck their attention from them during the course of the day, so they fall all the way back, not only into the world of their own thought, but into the world of the thoughts of all the people around them. The neural lab in UCLA has calculated that the normal mind entertains 70,000 thoughts every day. If you're in a room with 10 people, the 700,000 bits of madness whizzing around the room at that moment in time. But none of it is real. What is real is a life, a moment, a now without thought. And that is why we don't need to dip in and out of meditation. One person I was talking to a few days ago said he was a dabbler and a toe dipper. That won't do you any good, even though it will have some impact on the neural pathways and neural connections and structures in your brain. If you want to lead your life, if you want to grab your life by the scruff of the neck and live it like you mean it, you have to be disciplined about it. This is important stuff. You need to pay it the attention it deserves. You need to give it the importance that it deserves. You need to give it the preeminence that it should have, so that you are in the right state of mind first thing every morning. In other words, it's the first thing you do. Now, first thing means different things to different people. Some people will get up first thing in the morning, sit down and meditate. Other people will get up, sit down and meditate and fall back asleep again, perhaps because they are not, quote unquote, morning people. We meditate before our day gets going rather than first thing. But if we don't meditate before our day gets going, the normal cut and thrust of rubbish that goes on in our everyday lives will run away with us. And what will that do? It will provide us with more evidence that the past is a guide to our future, that we were right when we thought we couldn't move forward, that we were right when we thought we were undeserving because we keep falling. Now, inevitably, we're all a work in progress. So even if we're meditating every morning and ensuring that we keep ourselves on our toes through mini meditation during the course of the day, we're all a work in progress and we will fall. We do fall. Everybody falls. But if you're disciplined enough, you will fall and pick yourself up. And you'll pick yourself up in double quick time. That is a learning that can take some time as well. I had a conversation with a client a couple of years ago on a Monday morning. And he said to me, "I've been out of sorts since last Wednesday. Really only pulled myself together yesterday, Sunday afternoon." And I said to him, "What happened?" He said, "Well, I had a dreadful Wednesday. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong last Wednesday." And I said, "You didn't pull yourself together till Sunday?" He said, "I know, I know. I should have started pulling myself together in the moments after things started going wrong. But it was like a crap show." They weren't his exact words, but you get the picture. So many bad things happened at the same time or in quick succession. And that's the point I'm making about ordinary everyday life and the madness around us running away with us if we don't have our head screwed on. This guy was triggered and triggered again and triggered again to the point where he lost his will to pull himself back together again until he copped himself on 3 or 4 days later. That doesn't happen to him anymore. He might be triggered. He is triggered. We're all triggered still. but he'll pull himself together in double quick time. It's like a very good friend of mine who has been a long-standing client, someone who might be described as a bit of a hothead when I met him first, or perhaps the people who worked for him might have described him as a lot of a hothead at the time. This guy would be triggered very easily, and once triggered, he was like a ballistic missile, and God help anybody who is in his way. And over time, with regular meditation, and at this point, this guy meditates 7 mornings a week without fail, but he's a very disciplined individual. At that stage, he'd be flying off the handle in all directions. He would be jumping off the cliff, to use his own words. But over time, he would ring me and tell me, "Yeah, I fell off the cliff again today, but I'm getting better at crawling back up the cliff and steadying myself before the wheels completely come off." And then a few months later, he would tell me, "Ah, I got to the edge of the cliff today and I didn't jump." And then a few months later, he would tell me, "As I was approaching the cliff, I took a couple of deep breaths, took a pause, realized what could be happening, and pulled myself back even from the edge of the cliff." And then a couple of years ago, he emailed me a single line email and said, "Willie, you know, there is no cliff. We're all designed to react. Reaction comes from thinking. Once you unplug your thinking mind as a result of diverting your attention to the only thing that's real, what you're seeing, feeling, hearing, smelling, and tasting in the reality of this present moment, you will not react anymore. Instead, you will act. In other words, you will start doing the right things in the right way at the right time. You'll stop doing the things you don't need to do. You'll understand the difference between the urgent and the important. Also, you'll understand the difference between things that you don't need to bother your head about at all, just because someone else asked you or your thinking mind said, 'Put that on a to-do list.' Now, you'll realize that there are things you need to do and things that do not require your attention at all. But the wonderful thing is that when you get to the point of even experiencing the understanding and feeling, because it's a gut instinct of feeling, of the right things to do, as a result of your being present, as a result of your no longer being in reactive mode, as a result of your being primed to take action, that is exactly what you'll do. You'll simply take action without thinking about it." The problem that most people find and the stress that it puts them under when they come to having to do something that might be unpalatable or they would prefer to put off, the problem they have is they start thinking about what they have to do instead of just doing it. There's a world of difference between taking real action and reaction. Reaction gets us into all kinds of troubles. And very often, the minute we react, we wish we could take back what we had just done. But that's in the past, too. And there's nothing that can be done about it other than turn up to this here and now and right what you've done wrong. If we react, and it's no big deal other than the fact that we've annoyed ourselves, we take a deep breath, we pull ourselves together, and we come back to the here and now. We don't even move forward. We come back to the here and now because it is coming back to the here and now that enables us glide and flow forward effortlessly. If we have reacted and someone else has got hurt as a result, we come back to the here and now and we go and say we're sorry and ensure that the person who was hurt understands that you understand that you didn't mean it at all because it came from your thinking, reactive, automatic mind. You may not explain it to them in those exact words because everybody doesn't have an understanding of the psychology behind this. You'll find your own words to say what needs to be said, to build bridges and mend fences. You'll find your own words to say what needs to be said, even though you might think you mightn't get away with saying what needs to be said. How will you find those words? Actually, those words will find you in the same way as the actions that you need to take, the really important actions that you need to take, will find you through your having a feeling of the right thing to do and the right thing to say in the right way at the right time, effortlessly. It's what might be described as a perfect moment, isn't it? To sum up, we are here now. It is the only place that we are. Past is gone, and there is absolutely nothing I can do about it. The future hasn't arrived, and the one thing I can do about the future to mess it up is to start thinking about it and planning it. Because thinking about the future and planning the future will always lead back into our thinking mind, which will start wondering about the future, which will end up worrying about the future. But regardless of that convoluted nonsense that your thinking mind comes up with, the future hasn't arrived yet. It isn't real. You and I are only here now. Here now is all that matters. Here now, all is well, regardless of what might be swirling around me. Here and now, I am present. I'm like a superhero, knowing exactly what's going on, knowing what to avoid, knowing what to throw myself into, knowing what to do, and effortlessly doing it because I am present. And it is only by being present that I can, to use a phrase I used earlier on, turn the page on anything that has brought me to where I am. It is only by being present that I can take right action now. And it is only by taking right action now that I create the next present moment where, in being present, I can take more right action and move myself in the direction that is best for me. Which is indeed a completely foreign land to the thinking mind. The thinking mind couldn't even imagine what is best for you. The thinking mind, for starters, would say that even what you want is probably unrealistic. The thinking mind could never imagine the things that fall into our path when we are in the present moment, knowing what is going on, to the extent that we can actually spot the opportunities and synchronicities that are falling into our path in the present moment. The thinking mind could not begin to imagine what a life that is best for you looks and feels like. But you know what? There is a part of you that actually knows what this feels like, knows what is best for you. And knows just what you need to do to allow it all happen. Not to make it happen, to allow it all happen. There is a part of you that knows. When you're using your thinking mind, you don't know you know. But the more you enter into the flow of the present moment, by paying attention to the reality of the present moment, what you're seeing, feeling, hearing, smelling, and tasting in the present moment, the more you will encounter the one who knows. And then you'll know you know. And that creates a totally new life where you can lead your life and live your life to the full, one now at a time.